Blog Talk Radio.
There's something wrong. You don't know what it is, but it's there. Like a splinter in your mind. You have to see it for yourself. It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth. Like a splinter in your mind.
Well, welcome everybody. Welcome to Unraveling the Matrix. Sorry I'm late. I fell asleep. Terrible, but it's the truth. Today we're going to be discussing conspiracies. Open lines 347-855-8301 if you want to call in. All kinds of conspiracies, and I've already got someone with their hand up, the 801. Let me bring them in.
Hey, 801. I just wanted to let you know that there's a new boss. This pyramid of power is a conspiracy to rule the world. You and all your friends in the broadcasting world and all of our comrades across the planet, we outnumber the shit out of them. So we're taking over.
this sounds like
my good friend Judson. Good to hear from you, buddy. How are you doing?
I'm just sitting here watching the revolution. You know, it's like throwing gasoline on a fire at this point. You know, I mean, they got nowhere to hide anymore. They got all these freaking freakamizer radio people chasing them the fuck around. They can't, you know, they can't get by with their shit anymore, you know? It's a conspiracy, Austin. We're outnumbering them.
I called the show conspiracies, not conspiracy theories or conspiracy facts or any of these dirty connotation labels that they came up with. You know, conspiracy theory is actually born of the CIA. They're really the ones that came up with this, talking about John F. Kennedy and all the conspiracies that abounded with that. And a lot of people don't even understand a conspiracy is two or more people that are getting together, plotting or conniving or planning by various means. I mean, that's what a conspiracy is. I mean, you know, they label people like us conspiracy theorists or tinfoil hat wearers. Well, how does this shit that Judson, you've been talking about for 30 years, I've been talking about for at least 10, how's all this shit looking, all this crazy shit that us tinfoil hat kooks have been talking about, it's all fucking happening.
Well, the very good news is that with the explosion of the information age, methods that they employ are no longer secret. And here, I even got a little theme music for our takeover tonight. Can you hear it there? Kind of bring it in here slowly so I don't feed back. You recognize this music?
Yeah. How about Riley? You don't get fooled again. The Who.
The Who. We don't get fooled again. It's just fascinating to see the world before us awake, because the old bosses make way for the new bosses. You see? They're screwed, man.
Right.
Yeah. It's an exciting time to be alive.
Well, and it really is. And I've got here, I'm going to bring in my buddy, Mr. Richards, who has a new show here on Monday nights. It's called Who's the Boss? Let's bring him on in.
Who's the boss?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Oh, I was a little bit late on the draw here. Got my good friend Judson with him. He's here on the line. We're talking about conspiracies today. Notice we're saying conspiracies. We're going to leave off the theory thing on the end, because most of the conspiracies we're talking about are not theories. They're facts.
Right. And I got a good one for you guys. How many of you guys, especially listeners, any of the listeners, how many people have heard of King's Bench in Philadelphia?
Who?
King's Bench in Philadelphia.
Never heard of it.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Yeah, most people haven't. And you'd have to ask why there. It's a court system in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. You know, kind of like if you go to, like, say, for example, Canada, they have what's called Queen's Bench. But most people don't realize that we have a King's Bench court here in the United States, which is kind of odd because we're not supposed to have a king, so, or a queen, so why would we have a King's Bench? But I know you guys have heard of the Sestak V. Trust.
Right. Actually, I have heard of the King's Bench court in Philadelphia. Actually, technically, that's the most powerful court in the United States, not the Supreme Court.
Right. And you know, where all these, I was talking to Lisa about this earlier this week about the Affidavit of Truth. And, I told her it's important that, you know, you put that out there, that's a good first step. But really, when you go into court, they're not actually claiming that you're not a man or a woman, a flesh and blood man or woman. What they're basically saying is that you have other persons or personas. You're acting in different capacities, and one of those capacities is that you're acting under a legal fiction or a legal person, and that's all tied to trust law. When your parents signed you up with your birth certificate, you entered into a trust with the government, and where that trust is being held is in King's Bench, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And most people don't even know that exists, but it does. And that's not a conspiracy theory; it's a fact. And that's one of the linchpins of the entire system, so to speak.
You ever heard of the old maxim? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
True.
Right.
Oh yeah.
These people have no power here. We're the new bosses. We don't march to their tune any longer. We've taken over, dude. You know, your show, Who's the Boss? We're the goddamn bosses. These people are freaking gnats on our asses.
Right, and that's the point of the show is to show people that you are the boss. I mean, it's unfortunate that most people realize that, but most people don't. And that's the unfortunate part is the three of us might. And I imagine some of the listeners that would be listening to the show probably do, but for the vast majority of people, they have no idea. They have no idea what's really going on.
Have you ever heard of the four ends of court? The four ends of court?
Say that again?
The four ends of court in London.
Oh, yes, in the city of London, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My ancestors built it.
Really?
I'm one of them with them boys, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Well, they're still pissed off about the Magna Carta. I'm not kidding. That's the crazy part. This is how small this planet is. You know, we all come from somewhere. And, you know, the stories of Robin Hood were written at Witham Abbey along the Witham River at Witham, England. And I'm here to tell you that we're the new boss.
Oh, yeah.
All these Rothschilds and Bilderbergers and United Nations and all these little peckerheads, we outnumber the living shit out of those people.
Right.
Between us, we've got millions of colleagues all across the planet.
It's true. It reminds me of the meme that I posted that's gone crazy. It's from The Bug's Life. It's got the grasshopper stating, "Hey, if these ants figure out, you know, they outnumber us 101, and if they figure it out, they'll change our way of life." I mean, if you ever watch that movie, The Bug's Life, it's an amazing movie, and it's so true.
Precisely.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So we are a conspiracy, aren't we, Austin?
Yeah, of course.
And we're not theory.
We're a conspiracy. And you know, it was funny when I was putting together this show. I have pulled out the definition for what a conspiracy is. Let me see if I can pull that up. It's like, oh, the new boss, Judson Witham, College of Historic and Economic Studies. You know who actually put together that picture with Bilderbergers, Order of the Illuminati? I mean, it's Stu Webb.
Well, let me ask your guest a question. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we are the elite and we are the illuminated, aren't we?
Yes.
They're screwed, Austin. I proved it. I rest my freaking case.
Judson, believe me, I understand this completely. Believe me, I've been down this road. I've challenged the court systems. Right now, as we speak, I am traveling lawfully in my vehicle, my own personal property. Uh-huh. I have no plates. I have no driver's license. I have none of that stuff. So believe me, you don't. We're on the same level, Judson.
Well, Austin can tell you that I live in a giant law library here at the. I got two houses and two great big barns full of my law library. I got every constitutional and every kind of lex rex and prerogatives of a king. I mean, I got every freaking thing that you can possibly imagine. Thousands and thousands and thousands of volumes of Merlin's magic potions and incantations called the law all over my houses here.
This is a definition of conspiracy. I'm going to give one definition. It's also found in medical, legal, idioms, encyclopedia, Wikipedia. Here's number one is an agreement to perform an illegal or wrongful or subversive act. Number two is a group of conspirators. Number three is law, an agreement between two or more persons to commit a crime or accomplish a legal purpose through a legal action. Like, what the hell is that? How do you this is how twisted that this so-called laws that they come up with, another conspiracy, but they actually stated the definition. I want to read that again. Law, an agreement between two or more persons to commit a crime or accomplish a legal purpose through illegal action. How in the hell can you accomplish a legal purpose through illegal action?
Well, I don't know about you, but there's three of us on this program so far. Damn.
Oh my God.
Well, how many of you guys know this? And Judson, you might know this. I don't know if you do, Austin, but you know, all law that has any force and effect is auricular. It means it's spoken into form. So you have to actually speak it. And not only that, you know, if you ever notice when presidents or whoever they come into office, any kind of public office or any kind of office, they have to swear an oath. And every time you go to court, it's a hearing. Unless you swore an oath to abide by whatever law they're presenting, other than, of course, natural law, because that's, you know, like, for example, gravity, that's an effect all over the world. It doesn't matter whether or not you speak it or not. But man-made law.
That's a natural law. That's naturally occurring. I mean, you can't. Gravity exists. You can't speak gravity out of existence.
Right.
Well, unless you're one of those flat earthers, but that's another conspiracy.
You know, I challenge those folks. I asked them to name me all the other flat planets in our solar system. You know, what other planet? Are we the only flat planet, or all the other planets flat too?
No, they believe.
Name the other flat planets. It's the silence is deafening.
Well, those that believe in the flat Earth, and they believe that the Earth is flat and the center of the universe, so everything revolves around it. Everything else is spheres. And you got to remember, the sun and moon are in like this dome above our flat Earth, and they're not all these miles away. They're only like 20,000 miles away, and the sun and moon take turns. They spin around, but they're round. The flat earthers believe that all the rest of the planets and the moon and all these other solar bodies are round, except the Earth. Of course, the Earth is flat.
Well, you know, I do know that there was an awful lot of LSD and a lot of emphasis, and maybe that's the real issue. Oh, good almighty.
Well, about this flat Earth thing is making a comeback, and I'm going to stick with Pythagoras from ancient Greek times and observations that during lunar eclipses you could see the Earth's spherical shadow cast upon the moon, and all the ancient Greeks and before them that did all these mathematical calculations and observations proving that the Earth is round. But that's just me. I'm gonna stick with those tried and true methods.
Right. You know, and I got in a debate with somebody about this, and you know, they had mentioned that, you know, NASA lies and they're deceiving us, and I don't disagree with that. Like I question about whether or not we've ever been to the moon, and certain aspects of that, but questioning NASA does not necessarily relate to the Earth is flat. You know, that's a whole nother step beyond that. Yes, I don't believe probably anything NASA says ever comes out with, but that doesn't mean I don't think the Earth it doesn't mean I don't think the Earth is flat, or I do think the Earth is flat. I don't know how you figure that. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know how you correlate the two. Yeah, I think NASA's full of bullshit. NASA, never a straight answer. And
right.
I don't think man has ever been outside the protection of the Van Allen belts, because there is so much radiation out there, and I'm not buying the story that with a computer calculation that's less than a modern day calculator, much
right.
less you know, nowhere near what's in a standard. I'm not even talking an iPhone. I'm just talking a standard cell phone. That with this technology that they went and landed to the
on the moon and then return back again. I'm not buying. I think that is a bunch of baloney that man has landed on the moon and returned and walked on the moon. And anyone that knows me knows I post that stuff all the time. But that to me is a conspiracy. But I'm sorry, flat earthers. The Earth is round, and the Earth is not the center of the universe. I got news for you.
Have you ever heard of Eric Dubé?
Yeah, I'm Facebook friends with him.
Okay. Yeah, I was having a chat with him, and I was thinking about having him on my show, but I don't know. It seems, you know, that's like just outside the fence of any rational conspiracy. You know, that's just a little too far. Like, dude, you took a little too much acid. But
right.
I don't know. I would definitely bring him on the show just out of intellectual curiosity.
Oh yeah, I've offered to have him on the show too. I've been Facebook friends with him for a while, and he respectfully declines. He's too busy to, you know, come hang out with me for a half hour discussing his flat Earth theory. And again, I mean, and it's really taken off. I think it's all it's a psyop. I really believe it is. And what they do is it's used to discredit people. I mean, so, you know, oh, you're one of those flat earth guys. Next thing you know, you're going to tell me 9/11 was an inside job. See how they correlate that shit together?
Right, right. Well, it's at the end of the day, it's poisoning the well. It's kind of like Alex Jones or David Icke or some of these other guys that, you know, I know for a fact that Alex Jones and David Icke do actually have some good information. I've researched some of this stuff and been able to prove some of the stuff they're talking about. But they always add in a little bit of extra crazy that you can't prove and nobody can ever find any evidence on. And then they, you know, they say, well, you listen to Alex Jones or you listen to David Icke, you believe in reptilian people or whatever the case. And then, oh, next you're going to tell me 9/11 was an inside job. Same thing. Same exact thing.
Right. Well, yeah, it's like David Icke has good information with what he calls Rothschild Zionism, and he goes on to that. And that next thing, you know, he's telling you that the moon is a projection and there's lizard people.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So I mean, I did a show on him and Alex Jones and these are they agent provocateurs or psyops? I mean, and again, these
right.
guys, they come out, they give great information, and I'm friends with Stu Webb, and I mean, he's been on the show many times, Gordon Duff, these guys.
Okay.
I mean, they come up with some great stuff, and then they come up with, like, for example, I believe in DUMS, deep underground military bases, but then they tell you that aliens are flying saucers under the earth, and the aliens are living there.
Okay.
So you see what they do. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
I don't know if you still with us, Judson?
Yeah, I was going to raise the issue of hollow earth, but go ahead.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, and per se, the earth is hollow. I do believe in these deep underground military bases. They have cities, they have corridors that they have created. And I believe there's one underneath the Denver airport. I do believe these things. But then again, they bring up like Stu Webb or Gordon Duff or these guys, they bring up these deep underground military bases, which I do believe exist. And then they talk about aliens with flying saucers, you know, living there. And it's like you said, Brian, it's poisoning the well.
You remember the Wizard of Oz and all those little munchkins?
Yeah, the Oompa Loompa. Oh, no, the munchkins. Yeah, right, you're right.
Yeah, no,
Oompa Loompa.
You're thinking of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, well, Willy Wonka.
What a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of those munchkins, they came from an Army air base. There in San Diego, I believe it was located. The Army recruited a lot of very small men and women so that they could more easily function in the bomb bay areas of the World War II bombers, moving, you know, ordnance around, taking four bullets back to the tail gunners, and they could move quickly through the fuselages. And it's the truth. I'm serious. The Army specifically recruited small people to do these jobs. They assigned them to these jobs. That's a fact. It's a historical fact.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, in the advent of the ultra-classified, top-secret, skunkworks-like aircraft and weapons platforms development of the United States military, I can tell you, and it'll probably piss a few people off, but I don't know, they'll get over it. The bottom line is my first cousin, and I'm not going to release his name because he deserves his anonymity, but, you know, he's been my cousin since kindergarten. You know, I've known him all of our lives. And he's an extremely high-level Marine commander of anti-terrorist units. This guy's classified beyond classified. I'm dead serious. Every once in a while, he and his crew will go to work in a UFO. And that's a fact. That's not me off my meds, and that's not me doing a Stu Webb. They have extremely advanced transports for our hamburger makers. You never see them come. You never see them leave. All you see is the destruction they leave behind. The U.S. government has some extremely sophisticated aircraft. And to call them UFOs, well, that's a fact because they're unidentified.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, and that's what I believe UFOs are. And I believe that they use this alien and UFO, this agenda to basically make fun of anyone, you know, that sees these UFOs, and they're actually government, and they're our military. They're things we've been experimenting on for years.
Well, go ahead, Justin.
If you think about Dark Star, the Skunk Works, when they developed the stealth fighters, and when they developed the stealth bombers that are currently at Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, if someone were to see one of those in the air in the 60s or the 70s, they would have thought, you know, wow, look at that. That's a black diamond shape. Yeah, that doesn't look like an airplane. I mean, that's got to be a flying saucer, right? This is what they use to keep things under wraps. Disinformation.
Right. Totally. And I agree. And the stealth project that they've been working on for years, I mean, and you're right. I mean, people saw that, say, man, look at that. That's a UFO. And yet, technically, it is an unidentified flying object, but in reality, it's not. You just can't identify it, but the people working on it, and I mean, I'm right here, you know, in Nevada, and, you know, I know there's a bunch of creepy stuff going on here in Area 51, and they use this UFO cover, and I really believe that, you know, and they let this propagate, and so if you mention anything going on here at Area 51, oh, he's one of those UFO nutcases.
Well,
right.
I certainly believe in operational security. I certainly believe in national security at this point in time anyways, because there's a lot of people around the world that just are evil. I mean, they really need to be killed because they're
bad fucking people. So do I believe like in U.S. aircraft carriers and nuclear submarines? And the answer is, oh yes, that freaking hell I do. Now do I think we need them for the rest of time and forever and perpetual war? And I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope not.
Right.
You know, well, can the planet grow up? I'm hoping the planet can grow up.
Well, the whole problem with this military-industrial complex, and for the listeners, and this is not a conspiracy theory. You can research it. You will find the United States of America, their number one export worldwide is debt. The number two export worldwide of the United States of America is the military-industrial complex. War, death, destruction. That's our top two exports to the world. And that is not a theory. That is an actual conspiracy fact, plain and simple. And the whole point is we created Al-Qaeda. We created this thing that's blown into ISIS. And that's not a theory either. I mean, anyone with half a brain can realize that if you do any kind of research, that we've been funding. And look what's happening in Syria right now with Putin. Everybody's saying, oh, Putin's the bad guy, because Putin's killing the moderates. He's in there bombing the moderates, the ones that we've been supplying and funding.
Well, I can tell you that he's filling the power vacuum, and it's got Washington pissing in their knickers.
Well, you know, Washington has been playing around in that area for over a year, and has accomplished what? Nothing.
They've accomplished what they want to do. They want to keep the Mideast in chaos and turmoil.
Right.
It's all about the last gasping breath of the petrodollar, which is the United States dollar, is the international reserve currency. That's what all these conflicts in the Mideast are about, plain and simple, is maintaining the oil dollar, the petrodollar, period. And nobody's going to tell me otherwise. I mean, if we were such nice people, wouldn't we be helping people all parts of the world? No, we're only there because of oil and maintaining our petrodollar. The biggest kiting scam, Bretton Woods Agreement. Again, this is not a theory. This is an actual fact. If you want to investigate it, that is when they decided to make the United States dollar, the world reserve currency, to buy any oil. Well, it's changing now with BRICS and what's happening with the banking cartels. Now there's a little infighting going on, but it's an actual fact that Bretton Woods was set up so that any country that wanted to deal with OPEC and that wanted to buy oil, they had to convert their currency or their tangible goods into dollars to buy oil with dollars, period.
Right. Well, and you look at some of the Mideast leaders that got killed. For example, Gaddafi. What was his major crime? Now, I'm not claiming that Gaddafi was necessarily a good person. Let me state that to begin with. But what he was really trying to do was create his own currency, his and the rest of Africa, to go back onto the gold standard and to only sell their oil in their currency. And we can't have that. Same thing happened with
the dinar,
right.
Actual gold.
Right. Right. And this is not conspiracy theory either. This is known fact.
And we can't have that. This goes back to why Saddam Hussein was eliminated.
Right. I was about to bring that up.
Yeah, he wanted to sell his oil in Iraq, who at the time was like we are number four oil producer on the planet, with euros. And you know, the United States couldn't have that. I mean, you know, that's against the petrodollar.
Right.
So he was eliminated.
Have either one of you been to NASA down south of Houston, Texas?
No.
No.
They've got this huge park area called Space Park, and it's got like Apollo laying on a big crib, and there's some Gemini components and Mercury and Titan rockets and, you know, some of the bigger aspects of the National Aeronautics and Space Administration's space vehicles are on display there. I worked at Johnson for many years, on and off, building administration buildings and hangars and things like that. I was not an astronaut. But I spent an awful lot of time crawling around and looking up close and personal at, like, the big Saturn V rockets that boosted Gemini and Apollo into orbit. Those engines run on liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen. That's what fuels those big, huge rockets. The motors are vectoring nozzles with approximately 1,200 feet of 8-inch orifice built into the vectoring nozzle bells that deliver the fuel to the combustion area of the vectoring nozzle, those great big black cones you see.
Yeah,
and
right.
The fuel is literally in the oceans of the world. It's oxygen and it's hydrogen. That's it. That's all it fuels those things. Now, the reality is your automobiles, your buses, your trucks, your planes, your trains, they're all burning atmospheric oxygen through the air filters. They won't run without it because they run on it. That's the simple answer. And then they use aromatic hydrocarbon to provide hydrogen to the engines. So the engines that we're driving every day literally are fueled by oxygen and hydrogen.
Right.
The problem that we face, the conspiracy that we're going to smash right now, is the reality that we not only do we have the technology and the infrastructure, but at this point in human existence, we have the will to make the shift to these oxygen and hydrogen fuels that are produced from the world's oceans. So it's a good time to be alive, guys.
Right. Well, and not only that, to add on to that, Judson, you know, I'm sure you're aware of Nikola Tesla, right?
Sure.
Yeah. He proved in the early 1900s that you could quite literally pull electricity out of the air and power everything that you ever needed to.
Well, I'm going to explain better for you.
Go ahead.
Have you ever seen a bolt of lightning?
Yes.
Now, if you could harness all the world's lightning, you'd have a hell of a power source, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Do you know, and I don't want you to guess, do you know where lightning comes from?
Lightning comes from the ground. The earth is a huge battery. And lightning, everyone thinks lightning comes from the sky. No, lightning comes from the earth and goes up.
Correct.
Right.
So this is what we have before us as the new bosses. And when I say that we're the new bosses, I'm not joking around, guys. We have so many contacts across this planet. It is mind-blowing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And here's another conspiracy. It's cold fusion. It's non-radioactive fusion. It's cold fusion. We have the technology. It's free energy. And this is what Tesla was. I mean, this guy was so brilliant. He arguably the most brilliant man that ever existed in the history of mankind. This guy was so brilliant, and you open up a history book, or you open up any book talking about science, you don't hear a peep of the guy.
Right.
something fascinating exists just to the west of the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, out a little bit south of Route 22 by Galloway, New York. It's a top secret nuclear power station there that the United States Navy has been very quietly operating for 60 years now. And if you'll think about it, Saratoga, New York, is just a little bit north of the world headquarters of General Electric.
Right.
Thomas Edison, you know, big company, right? Now,
right.
why would they have this very advanced nuclear fuels science station west of Saratoga? I mean, think about it. What's it doing there? Why?
Well, isn't it where the Tesla Tower was located?
Well, the realities of why this nuclear power station are there have got a lot to do with rare earth materials.
Okay.
Like thorium, for instance, and some other materials on the periodic table of elements that are radioactive in nature.
Okay.
They come out of the ground. All of this nuclear material that we employ as human species, it comes from the earth. It's naturally occurring. Right?
Right.
Right.
The point that I'm making here is that Edison was in the pocket of the world's bankers. Tesla was more of a pothead, you know. He wanted everybody to be peace, love, and he wasn't all that concerned with putting it in a pipeline and selling it, like Nestle and their water extraction in California.
Right. Well, that's the whole point is what happened with Westinghouse and the Westinghouse Tower. Tesla and Westinghouse were together building this way to distribute free energy. And
wireless.
Then Westinghouse realized what the hell's going on, because Tesla wanted everybody to be able to have this unregulated free energy. And Westinghouse shut down the program. He's like, well, hold on a second. There is no way that I can harness this, and there is no way that I can control this and make money off of it, so we can't do this.
So if I were to say these two kind of word associations, if I were to say Nicholas Tesla and HARP, do you understand how to connect the dots there?
Oh yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and that's another one of these conspiracies it's the High Range Aurora Project.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot. Exactly. Do you know what HARP stands for exactly?
High Altitude Atmospheric Research Project, or something like that.
Right, right. And
come on, guys.
They built this place out in no man's land, out in Alaska, and they're come on. And then they're microwaving the ionosphere and ripping holes in the ionosphere for research.
And they're also like laser beams directing power towards their UFOs.
Well, exactly. And that's the whole point allegedly they shut down this HARP project. The reason being that they don't have to emit microwaves anymore. They're doing it now with lasers.
Have you ever seen the Goodyear blimp?
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, the control surfaces on the back, the stabilizers and the elevators, those big flat wings on the back of the blimp.
Yeah.
Those are inflated, you know.
Those are what?
They're inflated.
Okay.
Those big flat wing-looking things are inflated, just like the main part of the blimp. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is Goodyear air mat can be molded into a flying saucer. In other words, you can have a blimp that looks like a cigar, or you can have a blimp that looks like little green men are flying it.
Right.
Yeah, and they hover and shit, yeah. I swear to God I'm not getting around. There's your UFOs right there. It's Goodyear. Intermat technology. No, hey, don't laugh. I'm being serious. I've seen I've seen it. Now, let's stop the problem here, and I'm going to tell you that I spent a lot of time around Johnson.
Judson, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you that this whole thing and these UFOs, that everyone thinks that there's these grays or the greens or I don't know what color they are this month. These aliens.
Whoa. When's the last time you saw a United States Navy pilot in a flight suit? What color is their flight suit? It's gray. And then the Marine pilots, they're green. So you got green men and gray men. No, remember I was talking about the little people they recruited in the Second World War to operate in the bomb bays of the bombers? The small people?
Right.
Well, they use these smaller, they use a lot of women, too, to be test pilots because they're lighter and smaller. Yep. come on, guys. It's simple physics at work here. You're lighter and you're smaller. You can got less blood volume. You can take up less space in the cockpit. You're not going to put Lurch in the cockpit. You're not going to put John Kerry in the cockpit. You're going to put Sugar Ray Leonard in the cockpit because he's smaller.
Right, exactly.
And, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Less mass, less weight.
Correct. It's not rocket science that we're talking about here. It's common sense.
But a lot of people take this to the extreme, and you know, these little grays and these greens, you know, these aliens and all this. I mean, for the listeners, I'm having a chuckle and I'm having a laugh. I'm not saying that in this vast multiverse that there is not other living beings. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that.
Right, I was going to bring that up.
We don't have guys from Alpha Centauri hanging out with us here and watching what's happening on the Earth. Let's put it
I was going to bring that up that the possibility that there is life out there is very high. Now, them interacting with us and living here on this planet and flying spaceships and all this other stuff, that's not as high in that regard. I mean, the chances that there is no life out there is very remote. I mean, there has to be. It'd be absurd to think that we are the only intelligent life out there, you know, in this whole universe. And this, just what we know of this universe, you know, there's vast majority of the universe we don't even know exists. We don't even know that we don't know. Use Rumsfeld's quote, but yeah, the think that they're cruising around playing saucers and interacting with the human species that the vast majority of us don't know about it, and you know, I mean, I don't know one way or the other, but I don't know. It's just
let me bring some focus. When you mention the universe, there's so many universes that they can't even count the universes. Now the cosmos the great big intergalactic matrix that we live in, the cosmos, you know, if there's no end to it, think about that for a second. There is no end to it. The end would be too damn big. And then right on the other side of the end, what exists on the other side of the end? I mean, there is no end to this fantastic story that we're living in right now. We're in it. This is your life, man. You're in the middle of this giant, endless cosmos, and this idea that we're the only intelligent life in all of the creation, and even if it is a creation. You know.
All right. And again, I mean, I'm jesting and talking about the aliens, you know, hanging out with us and the lizard people and all this stuff.
and again, I want to reiterate for the listeners and for, you know, and for people that are here on the line, that I'm not saying that man is the end all be all and we're the only intelligent life form in the vast cosmos. And I don't believe in a universe. I'm with you, Judson. I believe in a multiverse. I mean, there's universes upon universes upon universes, and who the hell knows how far and how vast this is.
Well, but, have you seen this deep field from the Hubble? They took a relatively empty and dark point in space to take this high-resolution photograph, and there was 10,000 universes just in that one little section of dark space. 10,000 universes in the deep field photograph series. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that it is so beyond man's ability to grasp, it's not even funny.
I was going to ask you about the multiverse, Dawson, real quick. Now, when you say multiverse, are you necessarily just saying that there are many upon many universes, or are you talking the possibility that there are parallel universes?
Both,
because I've read some stuff about that, which I don't know. I'm not a astrophysicist or anything like that, but seems interesting, that there could be parallel universes, not just the multiverse, but parallel multiverses. That the only string of reality, so to speak, if you're talking about string theory. So that this is not the only flowing form of reality, that there's others in conjunction with this reality, just parallel to what we observe. Like I said, I don't know enough about it to say one way or the other.
Well, I'm just going to say that for everyone puts forth this string theory. String theory, I believe in quantum theory, okay, that there's so many multiverses, so many multiple dimensions with so many multiverses that I mean, and I'm not saying it's endless, but it's pretty close to that, because I don't believe infinity actually exists, because everything has a beginning and an end. I mean, again, that's me being a believer in God. I mean, God was there. He's pretty much always been, but his creation hasn't been here forever. He created it. He's a creator. Whether you believe in God or you believe in the universe or whatever you believe, there has to be some architect to this madness, because you see the sacred geometry, and again, I guess this would be considered a conspiracy theory, but if you look around, you see Fibonacci and you see pi, you see the sacred geometry from the smallest quantum particles that we're able to comprehend to the vastness of these universes. You see these same geometric patterns over and over and over and over again. And I don't think that everything happened by happenstance. I believe that there was an architect to this. I don't believe in this chaos theory, that everything chaos just happened from chaos. I don't believe in Big Bang theory, that everything was in one particle that they call the absolute singularity, because if you have an absolute singularity, you have nothing. It can't exist. But that's according to their physics. And all these people that talk, these accretion disks and these black holes and this absolute singularity, I don't believe that in black holes. I don't believe in the black holes. I mean,
okay.
You know what I believe in?
What do you believe in?
I believe when you flush a canary down the toilet, he'll always spin in the same direction, depending on which side of the equator you're on.
You know what I believe?
No, seriously. Come on, the guy. Does your toilet
spin the same direction every time you flush it?
Well, actually, that is a proof that the Earth is actually a sphere. Because at one hemisphere, it will spin one way. The other hemisphere, it spins the other way. And that's actually one of the proofs that the Earth is actually round and not flat.
Yeah, but now they got these new high power flushers where when you hit the flush, it just sucks it all down at once. It doesn't spin at all.
Yeah. I had one of those last time I took a crap on an airplane.
Well, you know what I was gonna say real quick what I believe when we're talking about this. I believe we don't know, and it's okay that we don't know. You know, the idea that you have to know one way or the other where this all started. I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Austin, and I understand where people that generally, you know, like they lean towards the Big Bang and all that stuff. I understand where they're coming from, but at the end of the day, you don't know.
Well, do you know how nuclear fuel rods work? You know why they create heat? Yeah, well, they're sort of like a north and south pole magnet when you put them in close proximity to each other. And the more that you expose, you know, more rod, the more heat it produces, creating
steam that spins turbines. That's steam that spins turbines that produces energy. That's how a nuclear power plant works.
Correct.
I'm heading to a coal power plant as we speak. So,
nice.
same basic design, but not nuclear. It's coal generated, but it's still steam powering turbines.
Are you an environmental activist?
No. I mean, wouldn't call myself an environment. I'm not an environmental activist. I'm a subcontractor, so I'm working at the power plant. I'm not going to protest there.
Okay. Wow.
if that's what you're asking.
Monitoring them. I got two wonderful kids that are environmental activists, and they're focusing more and more and more on all the efficiencies and all the things we can do to make it a better world and things like this. They're not like, you know, crazy,
That's actually what I'm doing. What I'm doing right now is we're adding scrubbers to the smokestack. That's to reduce carbon emissions and to reduce mercury and a couple other things that are produced coming out of the stack for the coal power plant. So we are. Go ahead.
How do the scrubbers work?
What's that?
Are they secondary, like incinerary type scrubbers where they burn the emission again?
Yes.
Using what, natural gas or something, or coal gas?
No. Same material as the same coal that's burning for the steam.
Yeah.
They reuse that and burn off almost 90% of the carbon emissions.
The big thing
that concerns me though is that these things they're doing are, you know, they're better for the environment, but they could do so much more. But like these coal plants, for example, they're penalized when they don't do certain things, whereas a lot of the industry, like the natural gas industry, the oil industry, and some of those places, they're given benefits to do the right thing, whereas these power plants have to pay for it out of their pocket, and if they don't, they get penalized for it. So there's a big contrast between coal and a lot of the other fossil fuels, you know, that politicians usually tend to point towards, oh, look at these dirty coal plants. And don't get me wrong, they're dirty. But,
so
you
often,
know, there's a big discrepancy there.
This brings us to the conspiracy. You see, if this guy's talking about penalization for, you know, too much carbon emission. So, and they pay for it with quantitative easing bucks, right? They pay for it by the printed stuff they mark up on the computers.
Right.
over at Janet Yellen's room.
Yep.
See how this works now, Austin? What a bunch of conspiracy crap, huh?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you know, just three guys sitting here talking about these so-called conspiracy theories, which are actually facts. I mean, we're laying out the facts for people. I mean, if you don't believe us, you can do your own research, your own due diligence. and again, this whole, if we want to talk about conspiracy theory, we can talk about this climate change or excuse me, now they call it first they called it global warming, now they call it climate change. That man created CO2, which is 0.4% of another 0.3% of the atmosphere out there. Man created is another 4% of that is warming the planet and the greenhouse gases and all this nonsense. It's all a scam for carbon-based taxing.
But you see how you have to create more computer digits, and you got to print more money using more electricity from the coal-fired and nuclear-fired plants. So you literally have this entire Federal Reserve system where the more they fuck things up, the more money they got to charge the U.S. government for.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and a sadly underreported fact is, you know, they're talking about these wind farms.
Uh-huh.
And I don't necessarily disagree with them. I think it's a good idea to explore a lot of different energy sources. But do you know that those towers that you see with the big blades on them and stuff like that, they actually produce less energy than they consume
to build. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the whole
catch-22 that all these tree huggers and environmentalists talk about, like solar panels and these wind generators. How much energy does it take to actually produce these things? And over the long haul, it takes more energy to produce them than these things will ever produce in their lifetime.
Right. And not to mention the cost of land that it takes to have a functioning wind farm. That's land that would otherwise be used for other commercial activities, including growing food, which is kind of important, but, you know, don't worry about that stuff.
Austin, have you been up to, like, Hill Air Force Base or Salt Lake, Provo, Utah, up 15?
Nope, never been there.
Well, at the entrance to Spanish Fork Canyon in Spanish Fork, Utah, which is just a little south of Provo, there's this huge mountain pass where they put in these huge wind turbines. And, I mean, them things are, you know, the blades are 200 feet long. They're huge. The biggest wind turbines in the nation stand there in the canyon. I used to have to drive by them every freaking day, right?
Right.
So one day I decided to go talk to the engineers that operate this huge power station, and their biggest bitch was the maintenance on these things.
Right.
They're so stressed because of the enormous forces from the wind, and these blades and rotors are so huge that they wear out, like, phenomenally quick. Constant maintenance.
Right.
And the cost efficiency benefit formula for these things are literally three times more expensive than a coal plant.
Right.
Much more expensive to operate. Oh, yeah.
Right. And that's the whole point, I'm not knocking environmentalists and I mean, pollution is bad, and I understand what we're doing to the earth is bad, but these people don't realize that these alternative energy sources take more energy, this dirty energy, coal energy, fossil fuel energy to create than they'll ever save in their lifetime. So it's a big contradiction. But you can't tell these people that. They look at you with a dumbfounded look on your face.
Right, and it's not like you're saying, it's not to say that we can't do better. No question about it, we could do better. But we know we can do better. Nick, like we were talking about earlier in the show, Tesla proved we can do better. If we really wanted to do better, we could. But unfortunately, with abundant energy, it's not profitable. You know, if Tesla had been able to go through what he wanted to do, we'd all have free energy right now. Right now, as we speak. And it would be clean. It'd be, you know, readily available. We wouldn't have to burn fossil fuels. We wouldn't have to do a lot of this stuff. We wouldn't have to use nuclear energy. We wouldn't have to do any of that stuff. And I'm saying that as a person that, you know, I do profit from these power plants. You know, I do work with a lot of different power plants. So I'm saying this, that, you know, this would kind of cut me off at the knees, so to speak, because this is part of my, this is how part of how I make a living. But I know in my heart of hearts that, you know, we could be doing so much better if we wanted to, but it's a matter of being able to, you know, for these big companies to make a profit from you. And that's one of the easiest ways to make a profit from you is to sell you energy, and we could have it for free anytime we wanted to.
Now, your guest name again is what? Because I'm a little tired.
I'm Brian Richards.
Richards. And what part of the country are you in?
I am in just outside of Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, so you're up in Yankee land, okay.
Yeah, I'm up in Yankee land. I'm in the liberal bastion of Illinois.
Oh, wonderful country. And the history of the Chickasaw and the mound builders of the Great Lakes, there's such an enormous and rich culture in the area that, you know, ancient culture, it's not even funny. It's a wonderful part of the world up there.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of cultural diversity right here in Chicago. Let me tell you.
In fact, I'm talking to you guys, I'm closing a deal on a 40-foot sailboat up there.
So, nice.
All night.
Yeah, oh, nice is right, because we can have a little like media, you know, conglomerate powwow these days. Up there on, you know, Michigan or Superior. Yeah.
Anarchy Island.
We're taking over, man. Swear to God, we're taking over.
Well, Judson, I mean, we're talking about, that, you know, in a few years down the line, if the shit doesn't go to hell in a handbasket, getting a little island, everyone puts up $100,000. We get a group of people that actually have a real social contract, not some fictitious social contract, actually live on an island looking for something in the Bahama area. Let's buy an island and just hang out and do our thing.
Mr. Richards, I'm gonna plug something here, Austin, so don't freak, okay? Up outside of Whitehall, New York, on the North Road, just a little bit to the northeast of Hewlett's Landing between Lake George and Lake Champlain, myself and Dr. Richard Hayes Phillips, one of the world's coolest guys, we have a 26-acre school that we resurrected from the Dresden No. 2 schoolhouse that was built in 1871. We just remodeled it. It's ready for business next spring, not far from Camp Kinjacook, actually. And this is one of the first official areas of free thought, is the school of the very high mountains, which were designated by the French explorers. The Adirondacks were originally known as the very high mountains. So we've already got this wonderful place, Austin, smack dab in the middle of the 6 million acre Adirondack Park, So we only own 26 acres, but we have access to 6 million. The trails go, I mean, it's an enormous park there in New York. So, you know, you guys are welcome anytime.
Excellent.
That sounds wonderful.
I appreciate the offer. Yeah.
So, I mean, tonight we really did. We took over. We knocked it right out of the park.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I, that's what I'm going to say. I mean, and again, we're talking about actual solutions, and we're tongue in cheek, and I've made a few jokes, and I don't mean to offend anyone. Well, if you're offended, tough shit. But unless you're one of the flat earthers, that you can take everything we said with a grain of salt, or if you're one of those NASA believers that believe we've been to the moon and back, that's another one of those. Now, I would call that a conspiracy theory because that was a true conspiracy. But, I mean, that's what we're talking about, solutions. We're talking about free energy. We're talking about looking at things like what you're doing, Brian, with the scrubbers and trying to clean up coal. And we all know that coal is a dirty business. No one's going to deny that. But these people don't realize that these other methods for energy production they're looking at have to be built by these dirty things, and they're never going to recoup the energy cost to produce them.
Right.
The reason, Austin, that, you know, I'm looking at this 40-foot boat right now, and the reason that I'm doing these things is the answers that are needed by our species on this planet is for the oceans to be farmed. We have to go to the oceans. I'll give you the short version. I will give you the short version. I met the senior design engineer for the fuel cells that went to the moon, arguably.
Okay.
The fuel cell system used for Apollo and Gemini were designed by this wonderfully amusing, really, really interesting old engineer that I met down at Clear Lake, south of Houston, about 25 years ago. And if you've ever seen these fuel cells, they literally, you think they look like a beer keg. That's exactly, they got a couple of sweet meters to tell you, you know, how much energy you're emitting from the fuel cell, and then it's got a couple like rheostat controls where you can turn the volume up or turn the power up that's coming out of these cells. And they literally look just like a beer keg. Now, the guy that developed these things, I spent an afternoon picking his brains as to how they worked and et cetera, so on and so forth. The reality is this planet is covered in oxygen and hydrogen. There is no fuel shortage.
Right.
It's in the rain cycle. It's in the water cycle.
Right.
So we've got the work cut out for us. And you know, we took over tonight. We're the new bosses, right, guys? Come on. There's three of us. For two or more, all together, it's a conspiracy. Yeah, we took over. And even Mr. Richard's show, you know, who's the boss? He knows who the boss is now. It's him. And it's Austin, and it's all the listeners. Yeah, we're the bosses.
It's you. Right. You are your own boss. I say that all the time. I mean, that's what anarchism is about. It's about self-ownership and self-governance. I mean, it's pretty simple. If you're looking for someone to rule you, you're basically a slave.
We're at a point.
Hey guys, I gotta jump out of here. It's time for me to go to work. But
all right,
I enjoyed talking to you guys, and check me out Monday nights, 6:08 p.m. Central.
Nope. You're 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern for a couple hours.
Yep.
That's Who's the Boss and Brian Richards. Check him out. He's here on Truth Emerges. And go do your thing, Brian. Thanks for hanging out, buddy. I mean, I appreciate you so much. And I want to give you the kudos again You had the top show on the network again last week.
Wow. I'm thank you. I appreciate that. And I just enjoy what I do. So I enjoy hanging out with you guys. I enjoy talking with you guys, and have a great night.
All right. You too, my friend.
All right. Bye.
All right, Judson. But yeah, I mean, I'm just, and I appreciate you, Judson. I mean, I love this show. I mean, we're talking about real conspiracies and not theories, but actual facts. I mean, the petrodollar and these gangster banksters and a fractionally created money and all this nonsense that they're doing. I mean, these are real things. These are real conspiracies. And I always like talking to you, Judson. You're a wealth of knowledge. You're eccentric like me, and I can appreciate that.
Thinking outside the box is something that everybody in R&D does. So it's not an impractical skill to be able to step back away from the fire, so to speak, and kind of be quiet and think things all the way through.
Right. But what's happening, and this is another conspiracy theory, is conformity and this collectivism and this you know, this groupthink and mediocrity and conformity is praised and actually benefited by, but to think outside the box in the indoctrination systems that they call schools now, I mean, they dope you up with Ritalin and you're a free thinker. We can't have that. You're a nonconformist. You're a dreamer. You're a thinker. You're not conforming with the rest of society. So we got to pound this square peg into this round hole so we can all get along. And I mean, that's what really sickens me. That's what, I mean, this Prussian education system that we have, this cookie cutter, and everybody is cut by this cookie cutter. I mean, you can't be a free thinker anymore. It's frowned upon in society.
You know, this morning as I drove across the Lake Bridge, I was kind of laughing to myself. I was contemplating the 30 plus years that I've put into this fight with the banksters. And, you know, the sun was coming up, and literally a sunrise, and the lake was very pretty as I crossed the bridge. And I really had this epiphany that 30 years ago, people were telling me I was crazier than a freaking loon, Austin. And today, everybody knows now that the system has been gamed for so much money, it's incalculable. So,
right. It's trillions upon trillions of dollars. It's immeasurable.
So I was patting myself on the back as I was driving across the bridge, you know, and I'm a hero. I'm a hero in my own mind as I'm driving down the road, kind of laughing to myself. But the thing that was so encouraging from the experience this morning, laughing at sunrise, boy, there's a concept, is that there really is hope in the future so long as we learn how to stick together and we have enough players that are interested in making it a better place rather than tearing it down.
And I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's nothing wrong with people voluntarily working together without the threat of coercion and violence, which is what your government does, mafioso style. But it's the whole thing that I rally upon, and that you rally upon, these gangster banksters. People, the average person, there's one person out of 100 that even knows what the hell fractional banking is, Judson. I mean, let's be realistic.
Well, again, you know, there's tomorrow morning, and it's another day, and there's another opportunity for those of us. And I mean, when I say us, I mean, I've got friends of all different kinds. I mean, I've got Chinese, I got Mexicans, the I got lots of black people. I got freaking Polacks, and I got WAPs, and I got Micks. I got them all. You know? I got hippies, and I got freaking rednecks, and, you know, I got, you know, potheads, and I've got, you know, Mormons and Baptists, and I can go out all night long telling you I got all these different friends all over the world. And we've all got one thing in common. We love our kids. We love our girlfriend. You know, Lisa's lovable, right?
Right,
and,
yes.
Any kids yet? Any little Austins on the way?
My daughter, actually, I want to put a shout out to her, is pregnant again. I'm going to be a grandpa again.
Nice. Excellent. You know, we have a reason to do this, Austin. We have a motivation, and that's we care about our friends and our families, and we care about people we don't even know. You know, I kick the Jews. I kick all these. There's so many fake Jews in Israel. It's crazy. I mean, yeah. I was challenging people today for this Jewish DNA test, you know. And the bottom line is the whole thing's being fueled by greed. The more fake Jews that they can pile into Israel, the more money that Netanyahu has to kill Palestinians with, right?
Well, exactly. And that's the whole thing, too. And I mean, I get because I don't believe in Zionism, I'm an anti-Zionist, I get labeled as an anti-Semite, and I love all people. And this goes back to this kicking the same dead horse. The real Semitic people that are being persecuted in the Mideast are in the Golan Heights and are in Palestine.
The Balfour Declaration and this creation of the new and improved modern state of Israel, I don't have a problem with Israel per se. What I have a problem with is they advertised all over the world for all the Jews to come home. And they attracted every fake Jew in the planet to go live in Israel. Everybody sponsored them to come there for years. You know, they give you an apartment. So all you had to do is say you were Jewish. Now, you know, I can say I'm freaking a descendant of Tutankhamun there, whatever his name was there, but that doesn't make it so.
Right. Well, that's the whole point is these Khazarians, I mean, they go home, they're from Europe. Eight out of ten people that are in Israel that claim they are Jewish, we should say Israelite because that would, or Hebrew because that would be more of a genetic thing. Jewish is more of a faith type thing. But 8 out of 10 people in Israel that claim that they're Hebrew are not. They're Khazarians. They're from Europe. They have European blood.
So in the kingdom of David, how many slaves were they like a slave promoting kingdom? Think about that before. Yeah, I mean it's like the Confederates, you know, where they took down the stars and the bars, and you know you can't fly the Confederate flag anymore, and you're considered racist, and you know Black Lives Matter and all this stuff. Well, the kingdom of David was a slave state.
Right. This thing about flags and flagotry and all this nonsense and the Confederate flag being racist. I put this out there for anyone. Not that I'm into flags and all this stuff. I want one person, anyone to tell me how many slave ships flew a Confederate flag and how many slave ships flew the Star Spangled Banner, the old red, white, and blue flag.
Most of the slave ships flew the British Union Jack. That's a fact. Now, I don't know if you visited the Without Indentures group on Facebook, but Dr. Phillips and I have spent years digging to the bottom of the British slave trade, and it's enormous. That's how they built the colonies and the plantations, was with British slave ships. We've got the names of the captains. We got the names of the boats. We got names of huge numbers of the white children slaves and the white prisoners, the Irish and Scottish prisoners that English slavers sent to Australia and sent to Barbados and sent to the colonies. So it's the crown British Empire of the City of London that are the biggest guilty parties on the planet. I mean, these guys make the States of America look silly.
and what you're saying is true, but I mean, if you bring up these things that let's put it correctly, the British and the Americans, at first they called them indentured servants. I mean, they weren't slaves. I mean, let's use the politically correct terminology. Right.
Austin, huge numbers of them were without indentures. There were indentured servants, don't get me wrong, but vast numbers were without. They were slaves.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the University of North Carolina?
Yes.
Well, when they put our book on the shelves of the universities in the North Carolina University system, very, very rarely do they ever write up and feature a book in the university news. But the first volume of the three-volume set, there's two more books. They're on their way to the publisher as I speak. The next two books are mind-blowing, absolutely mind-blowing that are coming out. But the first book they put on a shelf, they recognized that it had been placed in national archives around the world. That's right, your friend Judson Withams, an educated and capable individual with great numbers of extremely intelligent friends. I swear, I'm not fooling. But
Judson, I've known you for years. I know you're not fooling. You're very intelligent.
When they put Without Indentures on the shelves at the North Carolina State Universities, you see they have this proprietary interest in the image that North Carolina projects to the world, and they were extremely analytical and extremely academic in discussing Dr. Phillips and I's work, and the thing is that it's the authority on the subject. The British royal family, the Normans, that invaded and took over from the Anglo-Saxon kings, the Normans.
Yeah.
From France, in other words. French Jews, actually, just, you know, did I just say that? Jews from France, the Norman kings. Oh, my God. So, does that make any sense to you, Norman D? A lot of Jews live in France, you know. The royal comes from Jewish ancestry. That's why they're a kingdom, like King David, you know, and the Roman Empire. Hello? Suffice it to say, these truths that are being peeled away like the layers of an onion on a daily basis, this world is coming right along. I think it's kind of improving. I'm really proud that nobody's gone gonzo with nuclear warheads, at least not yet. I think that the promise is in tomorrow morning. And with that being said, as cryptic as it seemed to be, as I was kind of laughing as I crossed the Lake Bridge this morning, I realized that the bankers across the planet have had their asses kicked by the likes of Liberty Lisa and Austin Thomas and friends.
Well,
we do what we can. I mean, it's so hard. I mean, and I love Lisa what she does, but it's so hard. It's like you're fighting in a rigged game.
You know, I was married for 30 years. And here about 8 years ago, I was eating breakfast, and the first thing I noticed was that my wife had spilled her breakfast all over the breakfast table. And I was thinking, what the hell? And I looked up, and her eyes were rolled up in her head, and she fell on the kitchen floor dead.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry.
Well, hold on, we're not done. And so my oldest daughter is, like, freaking out. You know, she watched her mother die right in front of her eyes, you know. But Dad's real good at CPR and emergency life-saving technique. So I go doing CPR and, you know, breathing four, clearing airways, chest compressions, the whole thing, you know. And I
right.
get her motor started again, and I get her to a hospital. And they've got some pretty weird diagnostics that they're doing in the ER. Cause, I mean, they can't get blood out of her. It looks like Hershey's chocolate syrup. It's not red oxygenated blood. It looks like fudge topping you put on ice cream, and it's so
right.
so they can't even get they can't get blood out of her. Okay, so in the weeks after that episode, she mentally changed into this other person and moved on in her life and went and did other things. In other words, we got divorced, but the spiritual change, the psychological change that she went through from dying. Left me with this huge challenge in my life, not only to get over the emotional impact of it all, but to realize that life has got a lot of curveballs in it.
Sure it does. Amen to that.
And the very exciting fact of the matter is that across these blog talk radios, and I'm not plugging your competition, but I'm pretty good friends over there at Republic Broadcasting Network, and I was good friends with Evan Stain.
With Thomas LaCarva and myself. He's at Republic Broadcasting.
You remember Alan Stain?
Yes.
I'm trying to remember this old CBS news personality, and I'm having brain freeze. I'm really sorry. I'll move on. But I had one of the senior investigative correspondents with CBS News many, many years ago call me at the house, and he didn't get a hold of me. He got a hold of my wife, and my wife couldn't believe who she was talking to, you know. And the point of the reason that we're speaking tonight is we see the need to fix this. Just that simple. We got to fix it for all the kids. We're the adults, the adult voice of reason, right? And it's our obligation, it's our legacy that we've been entrusted with to fix this mess of a planet. It's up to us.
And it is. And on that note, I'm gonna basically play some commercials. I mean, I didn't even get the commercials. I do have to thank my sponsors and take care of them. And I'm going to wrap it up, Judson. But thank you so much for calling in, my friend. You know you're always welcome. Anytime, any of our shows, you're always welcome to call in. And I appreciate you calling in and hanging out for me being 15 minutes late. Shame on me.
Can you imagine Eric Severide being friends with Judson Witham?
It wouldn't surprise me, Judson, because you're very articulate, you're very intelligent, you're very well versed, and I love you as a human, I really do. And I'm not going to say you're not a bit eccentric.
I'm way eccentric. Hey, Austin, we'll talk again. Bye. Good night.
All right. Thanks, Judson. And thanks for calling in. To the listeners here, I'm going to play some ads, and we're going to wrap it up here. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We love you here at Truth Emerges Radio. Judson, Mr. Richards calling in. Appreciate you guys so much. I'm going to play the ads, and then we're going to call it a day.
Hi, this is David Bozell, Vice President of Crystal Pure CBD. Have you been trying to get CBD, but you just don't like what's available? Sure, lots of people can get CBD, but most people don't realize that it's only 15% CBD and 85% black stuff. Why the black stuff? We don't know either. We'd like to introduce Crystal Pure CBD, made with 99.99% pure cannabidiol. That's pure CBD, just like sugar. We mix it with hemp seed oil and make some of the best stuff on earth. Crystal Pure CBD.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's running like I never before.
Hey folks, this is the Mouth, and if you need something moved, you need to go through Dadco Transportation. Family-owned and operated, Dadco Transportation specializes in pad wrap fixtures to retail stores throughout the country, as well as furniture transportation, pad trap and box furniture from California to Arizona to all points east. Be it truckload, LTL, rollout, exclusive use, or expedited, Dadco is here to service their clients safely, efficiently, and quickly. So if you need something moved within the continental U.S., contact Dadco Transportation at 609-296-9121 or contact them directly at dadcotrans.com. That's dadcotrans.com.
But I can never make believe it's all right. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Hi friends, when it comes to reaching your audience, the best approach is in person. If you have a band, business, or charity event, you want to reach people in the best ways and venues possible. If you're touring in the Midwest, you need DMI Promotions. Their friendly staff is ready, willing, and able to assist you in venue locations and event promotions to make your show or event successful. Contact Tori Webb at 515-865-4463 or toriwebdmi@gmail.com. DMI Promotions, your Midwest promotional team and proud sponsor of Truth Emerges Radio.
This is an historic moment. We have in this past year made great progress in ending the long era of conflict and Cold War. We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order. A world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders. This is an historic moment. When we are successful, we will be a new world order.
The one and only original Guerrilla Radio with Austin Thomas and Liberty Lisa. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only on the Truth Emerges Radio Network.
A new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
All right, everybody, this is Austin Thomas, your host back here on Unraveling the Matrix here on Truth Emerges Radio. Just want to thank again Judson Witham, Brian Richards. You can check him out Mondays. For Who's the Boss here on our network, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m.
And I want you definitely to check out Thomas Mick tomorrow night. He's here also on Truth Emerges Radio, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Restoring the Republic. We've got such great hosts here. We're doing really good things here. I'm so proud of this crew we've got put together. And, of course, my dear friend Lee Peer and Dennis Ford, they do the Friday Night Super Show. Thursday, we have Sonny Thomas. Wednesday, myself and Liberty Lisa, we do Guerrilla Radio. Tuesday, you're either going to hear Liberty Lisa doing the Truth Train or the Bryant or the Thanks everybody for tuning in. We really appreciate your patronage. We're out. Peace out here at Truth Emerges Radio. Tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Thomas Mick and Restore the Republic. We out of here. Peace. We out.